It's recording now.
Okay. So we left off, even though the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah taught us the halacha pertaining to the mitzvah of Chadash, use this a little bit of a springboard to talk about the issues of Chadash and really almost branching out to some basic klolim in halacha, because as we realized at the end of the Sukkah last week, that at least according to the Ramah's understanding, the status of Chodesh today is really called Terakudik Shaila, namely, do we have the right to declare this to be a valid Sveik Sveika? So we saw really last week that there were three different approaches in the Gedolei HaPoskim as to possible Heterim for Chodesh. There was one approach to say there's no Heterim, it's not awesome and finished, but within the Materim, so we saw that there were two approaches in terms of pure Halach in the sense of maybe Chodesh doesn't apply in Chutzlars, maybe it doesn't apply to Goyisha crops. And the third approach was the Ramah's approach to the Sugya, that maybe we can fall high behind the Sveik Sveika. And that forced us to understand a little bit more about how Sveik Sveika works in the first place, but it also led us to question the validity of this Sveik Sveika that the Ramah is presenting. So just to recap for a moment, what the Sveik Sveika was, what the problem with the Sveik Sveika was. So the Sveik Sveika was that any piece of bread, any cookie, any bowl of cereal that I sit down and eat anytime during the year, I always have a Sveik Sveika. Maybe it came from last year's grains. It could be from last year, 2 years from not this year's grain. Even if it's a lemon that's from this past year's grain, maybe this grain was planted at enough time before last Pesach that it experienced Hashrasha, ready to root before the second day of Pesach. And once it takes place, once the second day of Pesach passes after Hashrasha, that's Matarit. So maybe it's last year's grain, maybe it's this year's grain. This year's grain, maybe it already experienced Hashrash. That was a famous fake sveik of the Ramah. So the Shach jumped on the Ramah and said it's against the Taisus, against the Sugi Ksubas. That the Rishonim Ksubas of Tess, these Taisus points out, there's a principle called the sveik sveik of B'Shem Echad. That if the two sveikas are basically saying the same thing, we gave the example last week about Safik Baratzon, Safik Ba'inus. If you have two sveikas that are basically just repeating themselves in different ways, that's not called the sveik sveik. So that's over here. It's one sofik. The sofik is it Chodesh or Ziyoshim? That's the whole sofik. Is this from grain that experienced the heter of the Omer? Or is this from grain that didn't yet experience the heter of the Omer? So whether or not you word the sofik by saying it's last year to this year's, whether you word it by saying did it have a shrush or not have a shrush, it's the exact same thing. I.e., does this grain belong to the category of grain that the second day of Pesach, no pun intended, passed over already? Or does this grain belong to the category of grain that is not yet seen, is not yet experienced, the second day of Pesach? That's one suffix. There are different manifestations of that suffix, different presentations of that suffix, but it's all the same suffix. So it's fake, fake, Moshem Echad, that should pose a big problem. So that's something we left hanging at the end of the Shia last week. So in order to defend the Ramah, in order to understand how this fake snake may still be salvageable, we have to pose another question. Some of you may be thinking, I'm coming to make matters harder for the Ramah. Yes, but in the process of making things harder for the Ramah, we may be able to actually salvage the Ramah. We have to identify another klal that permeates Ichus Sveik Sveika that also seems, at first glance, to pose a challenge to the Shittas Ramah. This klal has its, to the best of my knowledge, earliest roots. It's in the Tosos of Maseches Ksubas, but not actually in the regular printed Tosafim that we have on the page. If you take a look at those who have Gemara's and Ksubas from last week still, so if you take a look at Ksubas on Daf Tes Amud Beis, let's go to Tosafos Yeshanim, on the very, very side of the page, and then the right side, the column of the page, so there are a series of different Tosafim that were printed that are called the Tosafos Yeshanim that were not included by the printers in the regular standard Tosafim that we have in our Daf, the standard Vilna Shas. We'll put on the side. Why exactly they were put on the side? I don't know the whole historical background reason, but somehow they were called the Tosafos Yeshanim. I'm not sure they were any older than the other Balei Tosafos. They called the Tosafos Yeshanim. And again, they came from the same people, the same basic Talmid Rabbeinu Tam, the real, all the same Balei Tosafos. So the Tosafos Yeshanim in the side of the page is talking about some intricate shayla related to Sveik Sveika. And Tosafos Yeshanim has the following presentation. Yesh Mefarshim. It doesn't really matter the particulars that they're talking about right now, but this Sveik Sveika that they're addressing is not a valid Sveik Sveika. Why? The Ein Yecholin Lehishapech. Because you can't turn it around. So it's called the Sfeik Sfeik Sheinu Mishapich. What in the world does that mean? Sfeik Sfeik Mishapich means that you could present the Sfeik Sfeik in either direction. Let's go back to the original Grung Subas back at the Tesav and Aleph we spoke about last week. The original Sfeik Sfeik of Shas is a guy walks to the Beis Din and says that his wife was Mizana, but we don't know what that means. We don't know, was she Mizana Tachtav or Eina Tachtav? Did this Nus happen before the Kiddushin? Or did it happen after the Kiddushin? Big enough community before the Kiddushin, she's the Mutaras, the husband. After the Kiddushin, she's Nesha, she's Insa. And second suffix is, did it happen by Ratzon? Did it happen by Yonis? If it was by Yonis, if she was forced, then she's Mutaras anyway. So that's what the Gemara said. We have this woman in front of us, and we have absolutely no idea. We know that Pesach Pesach Matzah. We know that the husband has that nemanus to say that she was not a Besula at the time that he was Bala the first time. So she was definitely not a Besula. Somebody else was Bala. We just don't know when. We don't know under what circumstances. So what's the big deal? Sfeik, sfeik. Maybe it's tachtav, maybe in a tachtav. So let's play with that sfeik, sfeik for a second. And let's go from both directions. So let's call it sfeik tachtav, sfeik eno tachtav. That's the first step. V'yimtim z'lama tachtav, sheba ba'ayna, sheba ba'ratzon. Now let's turn it around and say in the following. Shema ba'ines shema beratzon, yimtum tzla beratzon, shema tachtov, shema yana tachtov. You could say it either way. There's nothing forcing us to say this fake sfeika one direction, other direction. That fake sfeika can be presented either way. It seems to be purely semantics. Zochta zoi or zochta zoi? What's the difference? Says it as the shonim. But man, the Vermamurim that a fake fake is a fake fake. When it's Evshalis Hapich, when you can logically say it in both directions. But if you have what's called a fake fake, we're going to try to find an example of that in a moment. When you have a fake fake, that's Einemus Hapich. If you try to say it the other way, you're going to walk to a brick wall. A fake fake that can't be presented in either direction is Nishkein fake fake. So I stayed in Tazi Shonim. To the best of my knowledge, the Tosafot Shem is the first one to make such a statement that a sfeik sfeika requires the ability to be mishapich. If it's not mishapich, then the game's over. So I state in Tosafot Shem. The Shach in your dance book of Yud collects the klali sfeik sfeika, about 50 or so klali of the government sfeik sfeika. So he quotes from one of the late Rishonim, the Sefer Ogur, who writes that there's such a cloud called you require a sfeik sfeik of mishapich. And the Sefer Ogur apologizes to us, and he writes that he remembers it's in the Tosha somewhere, but he can't remember what the Tosha is. Sefer Ogur. You can't blame the Sefer Ogur. It wasn't even in a regular Tosha. It was in a sideshow Tosha. It was in a Tosha Shonim, tucked away in a little footnote somewhere, but it has its roots in Rishonim in the Balei Tosha. Sfeik sfeik has to be able to be presented equally in both directions. In light of this cloud, that you require a sfeik sfeik of mishapech. Let's go back now to the Ramah's sfeik sfeik about Chodesh. Let's walk it through very, very slowly. I have a challah roll on the table. I have no idea where this grain came from. I have no idea when this grain came from. Let's start to walk through the sfeik sfeik. Maybe it's from last year. So maybe it's 2020 grain. Or maybe, 2019, or whatever year you want to call it. Maybe it's from last year's grain. Maybe it's from this year's grain. The imtim tzalaymer that it's this year's grain, still not over. Because maybe by fluke, maybe by chance, it was an early planting season this year. It already had, took root, already had ashrasha before the carbon aymer. So even though it's quote unquote this year's grain, it could still be winter. So you can present this fake speaker that way. That can be said. Leave out Shemecha Rezon. You can say it. It makes logically you can make those two statements. Maybe last year, maybe this year. In terms of this year, maybe before Omer, maybe after Omer. Let's turn this fake fake on its head now. Let's start from the other direction. Maybe this grain had Hashrasha before Pesach, or maybe it didn't. The imtim tzalayma that it didn't have Hashrasha before Pesach. Anyone want to complete the sentence? Maybe it didn't have Ashurashim before Pesach. Maybe it's last year's. Wait a second. What do you mean, maybe? You just got finished saying Im Tumtum Lomer didn't have Ashrasha, which is tantamount to saying it took Ashrasha after Pesach. How could you say with a straight face in the same breath, maybe it's post-Pesach, but maybe it's from last year? How in the world could it be post-Pesach on last year? It's gibberish. It's talking two sides of your mouth. You can't say that. The other way you could say, you could start the Sphinx fake, as long as you start the Sphinx fake in the right direction, and you say that maybe it's last year, maybe it's this year, you have some of this year, and we could still negotiate. Maybe there's another reason it could be Mutta. Maybe you had Ashrash already. But if you start the Sphinx fake with the other direction, and you say, maybe it had Ashrasha, maybe it didn't have Ashrasha, the infant's alignment that had Ashrasha, maybe it's Mutter Rendi because it's last year? What do you mean? You just got finished saying it didn't have Ashrasha, which means that it's from now. What do you mean, maybe it's last year? You can't do that. Your second suffer can't be Saisa, the Hanacha that you just made in the first half of the Sphinx fake. That's a gross violation of the Sphinx fiction. And that's what the Taisa Shan says you can't do. As I state in Sefer Haggadah, as I state in the Shach and close Sfeik Sfeika. You can't have a Sfeik Sfeika, which is not Mishapech. And why not? What's wrong with the Sfeik Sfeika? Tosfos didn't explain to you. What's the problem? What's the chisor in the Sfeik Sfeika Shein Yochel Mishapech? So there's a fascinating suggestion that's given that it's quoted in the Shach in the name of the Ramami Panu. Ramami Panu was one of the Gedali, not really every Shem, it's kind of end of the period of Shem, early Achronim, lived in Italy. Ramami Panu, that's a Gevalik Achidish. It's a long Shavart. He was a great Makubal, Ramami Panu, besides being a great Pesek, a great Bahalocha, he's a great Makubal as well. So the Ramami Panu writes, you know what the problem with Sfeik Sfeika, Sheeniach Lesapich is? Catch this one. It's a Sofek, whether it's a Sfeik Sfeika. It means, how do you know which side to start from? How do you know where to draw the boxes? How do you know? You can either start from A or start from B. If you start in the direction that you like, you'll end up with a valid Sfeik Sfeika. But if you start from the other direction, you're going to run into a brick wall. So do us the Sofek, I have to say it, you know, tongue twister. It's a Sofek when you have a Sfeik Sfeika. So when you have a Sofek when you have a Sfeik Sfeika, it's a Sofek der Eisel Chumra. There's a Shavu der Eisel here. We're talking about Chodesh. We're talking about Isha Shazinsas. We're talking about Shavu der Eisel. So the only time you can be mat or shavu deraisa is if you have a vade sfeik sfeika. Or b'ritz mundu b'sofeik, whether you have a sfeik sfeika in the first place, doesn't this get sfeik sfeika? So this just made matters worse for the Ramah, Nuchas Chodesh. Because the Chara, this Ramah is in flagrant violation now of two klal Nuchas sfeik sfeika. Until today, Shia, he was only in violation of one klal. That was the klal of Shemecha. Now he's in violation of two klal Nuchas sfeik sfeika. What's beyond the Ramah? What's Pshat? Here we go, Ramah. B'nei so yotzim b'yad Ramah. A lot of people are relying on this Ramah. Hold it. We're waiting for our tanash on a piece of cake tonight, hoping this Ramah is right. Where's the Sfeik Sfeika? It fails. It's 0 for 2. It's a Shemech and Anna and Yochel Zapich. So basically, the answer to her lies in another Ramah. It's a Ramah. Inuchas Nida, I sent it on the Mamakovas, people saw it. We got a chance to see it. No, Henry, did it come through that picture of the Ramah? Everyone get it on the phones? It showed up in the Mamakovas?
Yeah,
it did. Okay, good. Okay, so it's a Ramah, Inuchas Nida, and Simon Kuf Pei Zayin. So the second line of the Ramah. The Ramah is discussing a case where a very, very common shaila in the olden days, it's to some degree a shaila now, but not as much as it was in the days of the Ramah. A woman has some kind of a riyas dam, and she strongly believes that this dam is not really dam nidus. It's not really coming from the uterus in the classic sense of the word. This dam is coming from some other source. Now, if we would know for certain that the dam is coming from another source of that body, even though it's coming out of that same area of the body, let's say if we would have Ruach HaKodesh, we know it's coming from a different part, not from the endometrial lining, not from literally the part that usually produces dam nidus, we'd say, great, so she's Bateres Labayla, what's the big deal? We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. In the days of the Ramah, they did not even have the mechanics to be able to see. As man as that, 99% of these shaylas are resolved simply. You send a woman to the doctor, or check, and take a look, and they'll tell you, the blood's coming either from X or from Y. Finished. End of discussion. But the days of Ramah, you didn't have though that possibility. So the Ramah had to work with the old klolim, namely, we don't know. What are you doing? You don't know. Well, because neither is a sabi deraisa, so we're not going to be making so fast. So the Ramah describes the following presentation of a sfeik and uchas nid. What's the sfeik? So the Ramah writes in the second line of the page, sfeik im adam bo min hamochor o min hatzadin. She has bleeding, but she's not sure whether it's coming from the uterus, which would normally cause her to become a nida, or maybe it's coming from the tzadin, literally from the side. Tzadin in halacha means any other source of bleeding besides the uterus. It could be vaginal, it could be cervical, but it's not uterine bleeding from the endometrial lining. So if you had Ruach HaKadosh, the doctor told you that it's vaginal, it's cervical, so then we just forget about it, ignore it. But we don't know for certain. So that's one suffix. Maybe from the uterus, maybe from the tzadin. The imtam to lamin ha-mokor. And even if it's coming from the uterus, of the mokor, shemu min ha-maka. Maybe she has a maka, she has a wound in the uterus itself. Now, when that applies, what's called the maka shemu mokor, that's a loaded question because nida beyond the scope of that discussion right now. But suffice to say, the gemara says the favorite should nida. We could have a situation where a woman has bleeding coming from the uterus, but halachically it's not dam nidus. It's called Dhamma. But again, how that plays out with Maisa is a loaded question with many different opinions, but nothing. So comes to Ramon and says, this woman comes and says, listen, I don't know where the Dhamma comes from, but I have two possible Tzadim Lachim. One is, maybe it's from the Mokor, maybe it's from the Tzadim. Vimtim Tzalomar, it's from the Mokor, maybe it's from the Macham and the Mokor. So the Ramon gives her a green light. She's Buteras Labayla. Facebook. We walk through that speaker very, very carefully. Let's walk through that speaker very, very, very carefully. How many problems do we have with this speaker? So, l'chora, this speaker is a Shem Echad. Because dam that's not from the lining, from the endometrial lining, which is not dam min ha-mokor mamish, is called dam maka. Does it make a difference whether the makas in the cervix, the vaginal area, whether she has hemorrhoids maybe and she got confused, or whether she has some kind of a wound inside the uterus itself that halakhli is not dam nidus? All of the above is called dam maka. So listen to your sfeika. Maybe it's min ha-mokor or maybe it's min ha-tzadim, which is tantamount to saying maybe it's dam maka. The imtim to lament from the mokor, maybe it's from the maka in the mokor, which is tantamount to saying it's from the maka. So basically, what your suffix is it mina mokor or is it mina maka? The mina mokor, mina maka. You say it 100 times, it's the same suffix. So comes the shach and jumps under a mod and says, it's a violation of Shem Echad. Let's make matters worse for the Ramah. Not only is this fake Shem Echad, there's a sveik sveika she'in liyachol es hapech. Let's walk through the sveik sveika very, very carefully. You have to draw it out. We had the board, we draw it out, but we have to say it out very, very slowly. You know, it's hard at almost 9 o'clock at night to think through the intricacies of a sveik sveika, but Tyri Lamda, gotta emotional Tyri, gotta think through, gotta work through the sveik sveikas even in the middle of the night. So let's think of the sveik sveika of this Ramah. Maybe it's from the Makor, which usually spells trouble. The uterus, maybe min ha-tzadim. The imtim tzalamim min ha-mokor, maybe she locked out, it's been a maka sheba mokor. Was that sayable? Yes. There was nothing illogical with what I just said. So the next one. Let's start it the other way around. Maybe it's from the maka sheba mokor, or maybe it's from the uterine lining itself. The imtim tzalomer, it's from the mokor itself. You would just be niach that imtim tzalomer. That's what you just said. You just said those words. The imtim tzalomer, it's from the mokor itself. Well, maybe it's from the tzadim. Excuse me. You just said the imtim tzalomer. You just started the second suffix by saying imtim tzalomer, that it's from the mokor mamish. You can't turn around and contradict yourself and say, oh, by the way, what I just said was a joke, and maybe it's from the tzadim. It's a stir, but you can't do that. That's not acceptable. The Chayyur, this Ramah is in violation of his fake section. Yochlis Hapich, Shteitim Yisharim, Taz Yisharim, and Ogur. Shteitim Yisharim, fake section, Yochlis Hapich, because this takes faith. So we have two Ramahs in big, serious, serious hot water right now. We have a Ramah Nuchas Chadosh in hot water, because the Ramah let us get away with this very modernist fake sveika, which is Suffolk last year, Suffolk this year, this year maybe Ashrasha. It's a Shemechon, and it's Yeshua Esavich. And they have the same problem the Ramah is bumping into when it comes to this fake sveika and Chosnika. That maybe in Amokah, maybe that started Fulham in Amokah, maybe for the Makkah, it's Shemechon, and it can't be reversed.
Does the Ramah agree with that fake sveika and Tapech? Everybody accept that?
Does everybody under the sun accept it? Probably no. But if we're going to push all these Ramahs against Sveika, Shemechon, Eskabech, we're not going to be so comfortable following these Ramahs, because there are great Rishonim who do say it. Again, you're right. It is possible the Ramah doesn't accept it. It is possible. But the later Poskim didn't think it was probable.
So also, in the one with the Chadash, so that Sveika can happen only in a place where we can talk about Hashrasha in a certain time. But the places when they don't have Hashrasha, it goes all year, that will be a different problem.
Well, we didn't yet get to the intricacies of the details. Hopefully, I want to spend the last few minutes of the shit. If we get through the lumdus, I want to try to wrap up what we were supposed to wrap up last week, which we never even got to yet, in terms of the Metzias of Hashrasha. So we're still in the world of the lumdus right now. We're not in the fields of the farmers yet. We're still with the Ramahs, the Shachs, lost in the world of Sveik Sveika.
Rav Savlovsky, just quickly, isn't a Sveik Sveika Sheini Yechol Lishapik really just saying that it's a B'Shem Echad?
Oh!
That's really what it's saying. That's what it is.
Okay, you're three steps ahead of me. Okay? So let's try these two difficult Ramahs. The one of the Gedolei Acharonim on the bottom of Hilchos Nida, the Toras HaShlomim, tells you, I ain't in his Sefer, where he wrote notes on a different Sefer, the Ramah, where he's Ma'arich on, and he basically gives you the following Yisayf, the Gedolei Acharonim, Toras HaShlomim, the following Gevalt Yisayf. Ari got it, but I'm going to be Mahafich what Ari said. No pun intended on that one. Don't be Moichel, Mahafich your words. Says the Teres HaShlomim, these two klolim, Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad, and Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad, are really, really close cousins to one another. They're not only close cousins, they're almost identical. Says the Teres HaShlomim, he thinks that there really is no klal called Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad. That's not really so important. Shem Echad, they shem, that's not really what's critical. The real klal is it must be Yochelis Hapech. Because if it can't be Yochelis Hapech, then we throw our hands up, as the Ramah Mipano said, and we said we have a suffix, we have a Sveik Sveika. Because I'm just not convinced which side to start the equation from. So the real rule that's carrying the days up to the Shlomim is that it has to be Yochelis Hapech. That's Chayfel Yavar, Taizishanim, Ogur Shah. It's got to be, we're not negotiable, it's got to be Yochelis Hapech. But whenever you have a Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad, you by definition are going to have an Eif Shel Esapech. Because once you make the Imkim Tzoloimar, that's going to kill your second Sofer. It's just by definition going to always become B'Shem Echad in effect. Every Shem Echad is going to become by default an Eif Shel Esapech. That's the first Klav Tos HaShlomim. The second Klav Tos HaShlomim is a Klav that the Shach himself develops in Klal Sveik Sveika Siman Kuf Yud. He has rayas from Gemaras, from Rishonim, the following. What's wrong with the Sveik Sveika Shein Yochel Esapech? So remember, the Ramah Mipano told us, because we don't know which way to go. We have a 50-50 chance of presenting the Sveik Sveika in the right manner. We have nothing to go on. Like Mehecha Teis and Mechazes, that you go one way and start at the other direction. But what if you have a Sveik Sveika that common sense dictates to start one of the two ways? Nobody in their right mind in a million years would ever start the Sveik Sveika in the other direction. It doesn't make any sense. Says the Toras HaShlomim, and already the Shach preceded him by saying, when you have a Sveik Sveika that you in theory can go either way, like the case of Ksuba, Suffolk onus of Ratzos of Tachos, there's nothing compelling you to present the Sfeik Sfeik in one way over the other. Whenever there's nothing compelling you to go down one path over the other, then both paths have to be open for you. If I have to get to the destination, I got to get to the bridge. So there's nothing stopping me from taking 8095, nothing stopping me from taking Route 4. If it's equal footing either way, then both paths have to be open. Because if one of the paths are closed, so my chaz is to go down the other path, maybe the other path is the right way. So mishapech is only necessary zaftishach when there's nothing compelling you to go in one way or the other. But what if it's muvon me'elav the way to go? Nobody would ever go. I have to get to George Washington Bridge. So either I can take Route 4 or I say I have to get to Manhattan. Got to get to YU tomorrow morning. I can either take Route 4 or I can take Route 80. And those are both, 80-95. Those are Nitanahem here. But listen to this one. I have to get to YU tomorrow. So either I'll take Route 4 or the rest, I'll do like this. I'm not going to take Route 4. What I'll do is I'll go up the Palisades. I'll go up to the Bear Mountain Bridge. I'll go halfway up to Vermont. I'll come down the other way. I can make it back to YU after 8 hours. I'm a sugar. So there's some paths that just don't make any sense to go down. Says the Shach, if the other path is Muvan Me'ilav, that's not the path you're traveling on, that we don't think the Siachais to whether that fake is legitimate or not, because that's not the direction I'm going. Now let's put this into practice. Let's take the Chasmid case for a second. A woman finds blood. All of a sudden she finds blood. What's the first question we're going to ask ourselves? The very first question. She's going to go to the doctor. She said, doctor, I found blood. The doctor's going to say, well, is your nose bleeding? I mean, where's the blood coming from? Is it even coming from that part of the body? Wow. So the first thing we want to rule out is this even Nuchas Nidisha in the first place? A woman tells you that she cut her finger, that's not Nuchas Nidisha. So the first question we're going to ask ourselves is it Minam Mokor or is it Minat Stodin? Stodin means other parts of the body. It's hemorrhoids. She has a nosebleed. She cut her foot. That's all tzedodim. So the first question is move on. We have questions to ask the question. Is this a gynecological question altogether? Is this a chesed shayla? Is this blood from oisim makom b'chlal? So of course we're going to start from that side. Once we say imtim tzolaymar, it's tacha coming from the makor. Wait, not over yet. Because maybe there's a makashim b'makor which is going to save her. So it makes sense. The medical exam, when the doctor and the rabbi are going through the questionnaires, so first we discuss, is it that mokor? Is this something that should be discussed at the gynecologist's office? Is this dam and a mokor together? The imtum to lomi, the answer is yeah. Then let's negotiate a little bit further. Is it been a makor or a mokor or not? Says the Teres HaShlomim, no one's going to start the discussion by saying, maybe there's a makashiv a makor. On second thought, maybe she has a nosebleed. Backwards. That's like going up the Bear Mountain Bridge to get to YU. Says the Teres HaShlomim, b'chiya gavna, you don't need mishapich. And guess what? If you don't need mishapich, then there's no problem with shemechel. Shemechel is not absolved b'fnei atzmo. Let's go back to the Chodesh. Let's make the complete circle now. Back to Chodesh. I have a piece of chal in front of me, I have a bowl of syrup, a piece of cake in front of me. And I'm looking at the pasuk chumash. What's the first question I want to ask myself? Number one question is what hashrusha was. Come on. Number one, is this new grain? Has this grain been around for 30 years? Is this surplus from 6 months, 6 years ago? So obviously it's move on to Eilov. The first question you're going to ask is this even a Chodesh question altogether? Maybe it's 5 years ago, great. I have to say, I don't know for certain, it's 50-50, maybe it's this, maybe this year's. Then we'll renegotiate, reopen, and discuss, oh, guess what? Maybe it's this year's grain, but you won't believe it. Maybe it had a shrush already. Hashem read this. I believe it had a shrush. It's mutter. What are you not going to do? You're not going to open up the discussion by saying, I have a challah roll in front of me. Let's discuss when it had Hashrasha. Can we first discuss whether this is even in the ballpark of Chadash? So when you have Sveikis that there's nothing compelling you to go down one route or the other, then you have to have both avenues available. And if not, it's a suffix whether you have a valid Sveik, and those Sveikis both will move themselves. But when it's move on the ale of which way to go, common sense dictates, so then there's no need for Misapich. And whenever there's no need for Misapich, there never was a need for Shemecha. Shemecha was never really a psul of a Sveik Sveika. Shemecha was just a indication that you're not going to be able to do Misapich. But I don't have to do Misapich here because I know which way to go. So, according to Tarsa Shlomim, we have salvaged the Ramoshita. We saved the day. You know the Bar Plukta and this Tarsa Shlomim was? The Shach. Because the Shach in Klali Sveik Sveika quotes both the klal of Shemecha being no good and the klal of Enem Esapech being no good as two separate letters, two separate numbers of the klal. Clearly not, he understood that each one independently is a problem. That's why the Shach threw his hands up and can't accept the Ramah Nuchas Chodesh, can't accept the Ramah Nuchas Nida. They're both wrong, both the Ramahs are wrong. The Ramah Nuchas Nida, the Shach Nuchas Nida says the Ramah's wrong for two reasons, he's wrong for two. Two strikes against him, it's Nishe. It's a Shemechon and an Yechon Sabech. So the Shach L'Shitosai understood that each klal is independently true. So he has problems with these Ramos. We, or those who think, like the Tosafot Shlomim, that these are not independent klalim. And therefore, the Mishapech klal can be avoided if it's clear as day which direction to go in. Ultimately, we're not so worried. And therefore, we're willing to be matrit based on simple cheshma, simple calculation. Doesn't bother us. It's happening here, it doesn't bother us. So in my with all the dust settles, we have three mahalchim, the G'dayla, G'dayla, Yaelim, to be in Lavit Chus and the Midi Yisrael, and both Kadmona, to be very, very, very makel in Uchaz Chodesh. Either they're relying on the Sefer Trumas, those who share, who say the whole thing doesn't apply in Chutzlords, end of discussion, or they're relying on the Bach, and some Shem who see the Bach, it's Goy Shekra, nothing to discuss. Or they're relying on this Ramah, this fake, etc. Rabbi Say, there's one more nuance of a halachic problem before we move into the world of Metzius. Sveik and Chodosh is tricky because Chodosh is what we call a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's something that's going to be mutter at a later point. Namely, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be mutter. The Gemara says in Beitzah, that many of the regular klalim that we rely on, the kula, don't apply when you have a davar sheyesh matirin. Rashi writes in Beit, Achet Tochlin, Beis Tochlin, Beheter. Why rely on such shvacha kula if you don't have to? Why don't you just to do it right? Just wait it out. Davar sheyesh matirin, just hang in there. Just wait a little bit. Don't rely on kunsim and chochmas and mainzalach and bittles and tzeikas and everything. Achet Tochlin, Beis Tochlin, Beheter. Wait it out. It's going to be okay. That's a big machlekes that Paiskim can be reliant on fake as makom davar sheyesh matirin because chadash lachor is a davar sheyesh matirin. That's another loaded question. There are most seems to be making on that also. So the we have our three mahalchim in the Gedolei Paiskim, and then we have the machmirim, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gra, the Shem Zayin, the Gedolei Paiskim, who said none of the kulos are right and chadash is in full force. Yesh v'yesh, el ve'el, different opinions of Gedolei Paiskim. What does this mean for us, Lamais in America? So it depends which route you go down. If you go down the route of the first two routes, that it's a halachic basis kula, or whatever they relied on in Poland, they relied on in America. It's the same thing. Same chutzlarts. Kansas is chutzlarts. Ukraine is chutzlarts. The farmer Joe in Nebraska is farmer Ivan, whatever his name was, back in Russia and Poland. So if you go with those two kulas, then nothing's changed in the last 100 years. But if you go with the Ramos kulas, fakes, what are the facts? Let's see if we can familiarize ourselves just a little bit with the Metzius is. And again, the best of my knowledge, what the Metzius is today in the Yatoshin Pei Aleph, they have been very different in the 1970s, maybe different in 10 years from now, but right now, Lafian is 90, this is what I think the facts I haven't done the research myself, but after reading, this is the, I think, the facts on the ground, no pun intended, are bizman is there. In America, there are two different planting seasons. This is in contrast to Eretz Yisrael for a very, very simple reason. In Eretz Yisrael, it would be very, very hard to plant grain in the summertime. We're going into the summertime, it's not going to rain in Eretz Yisrael, so you're not going to want, you don't want to plant wheat. So obviously, you have to plant grain where it's going to rain. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're stuck with the concept of what we call winter wheat. You're planting it in the fall, it's going to grow through the winter, etc. In America, because it rains throughout the year, you have that option, you have that ability of having multiple planting seasons. And you can have what's called winter wheat, which winter wheat is referred to as the wheat that's planted in the fall time. It's going to grow through the winter. And you have spring wheat, which is planted in the sometime in the early spring. Winter wheat, by definition, will never, ever be a problem of Chadash in America. Because, let's say, for argument's sake, the planting season is around September, whatever it is. By the time that grain is harvested, by the time that grain makes it to the flour mills, by the time it makes it to your table, it's ready after Pesach. So anything that's growing, if you knew with 100% certainty this is winter wheat, you could totally forget it. It's just Metzias Advarim, it's never going to be a problem. The problem is with the spring wheat, because spring wheat is planted right around now, middle of March, and very often will not experience Hashrasha before Pesach. Sometimes will, sometimes won't. This year is actually a bad year because Pesach is so early this year. Following a leap year is obviously much, much better. So it's very, very possible that all the bulk of the spring wheat that's going to be planted now will not experience Hashrasha before Pesach, which will mean that when that wheat is harvested, usually towards the end of the summer, maybe August or so, once that wheat starts to hit the shelves, which usually takes a couple of weeks, by around September or so, there's going to be wheat on the market that was this year's spring wheat that never had Hashrasha, which is a potential Chadash problem. So the most important question almost you have to ask yourself is any given product that I'm eating, is it winter wheat or is it spring wheat? If I know for certain that it's made out of winter wheat, then nothing to worry about. If I know for a fact it's made out of spring wheat, then I have significantly more to worry about. So winter wheat and spring wheat are not just planted at different times. They're different textures, the different kinds of wheat. One's harder wheat and softer wheat. One's used more in harder kinds of foods. One used in softer in cookies and cakes and breads and pasta. There are different umnas in terms of this Google winter and spring wheat production in America. You get all the facts that I'm telling you. So different foods usually get different kinds of things. That's why certain foods are much less subject to Chadash problems than others. One of the little wrinkles in this issue is that apparently, and I don't know enough about the wheat production, but apparently what was started recently, fairly recently, several years ago, was that certain foods that were traditionally made of only winter wheat, which were traditionally never a problem of Chadash ever, they started to supplement some, they would mix in some spring wheat into the winter wheat batch. Apparently the spring wheat is higher in protein than the winter wheat. Again, I don't know why, the sister Tari can't tell you. But apparently there was some of the manufacturers who weren't too careful about Chadash, the guys out in Canton, Nebraska, were not, I guess it must have held like the Mekilim. So they didn't realize that by throwing in some of the spring wheat into the winter wheat, they caused the a whole tzaras. This was the pretzel crisis of 3-4 years ago. For Deir and Deiris, it was always Muvan Me'elav that all pretzels in America were yoshim. Because pretzels are a crinkly, hard kind of a food. They're always made by winter wheat. You don't use spring wheat. Spring wheat doesn't make good pretzels. I mean, the hard, but hard, not soft pretzels. Hard pretzels. So it was always Muvan Me'elav that pretzels were, you can go to the store, buy any OU pretzel, even if you're the biggest brisket in the world, you're back when yoshim, all pretzels are good. And then a couple of years ago, they started to mix in some of the spring wheat into the winter wheat, and they threw a whole curveball into the pretzel industry. So in case you're interested, so some of the brisket stopped eating pretzels for the last few years. More relevant for us, Lamaisa. A lot of the foods out there are made from spring wheat. Bread, challahs, cakes. A lot of stuff is made from spring wheat or mixtures of spring wheat. So for us just to take the attitude that, oh yeah, it's probably winter wheat, it's probably okay. It's not an all partial, not an all partial to make such a statement. Certain foods, yeah, you have to know which ones, but you can't just take a blanket statement, yeah, all the wheat is good. How much, you know, percentage of chadash wheat is on the market now? If the world there is surplus, not as much surplus as perhaps there were many, many years ago. I think we quoted from Baron Soloveitchik, but years ago, many, many years ago, there was a lot more surplus. Then America started shipping wheat to other countries, and that cut down on the surplus. So things have changed over the years. Again, it's hard to get an absolute exact number where the ratio, where the chips fall in terms of how much chadash wheat is on the market. It's hard for me to say for certain. I don't know. But that there's some out there, there is. Another crop that's even more complicated is oats. Because oats, I wouldn't say more complicated, more problematic. Apparently, almost all the oats that are out there, or a significant amount of oats that are out there, may very well be chodesh oats. That they don't have them, I'm not mistaken, I think all the oats are planted, and there's no such thing as the winter oats. I think they're all the spring oats, if I'm not mistaken. And therefore, the whole oat crop is a potential problem. So you have a few facts that have to be ironed out. Basically, to make a statement in America that everything is okay, there's no chadash on the market at all, I don't think it's a true statement. To say that there are certain kinds of foods that there may be a rove is yashon, that may be true. But there are certain foods out there that there may not even be a rove, I think it's probably also true. So where do you go from here? Now again, if you're into the Ramos fake fakers and you're willing to hide behind these fake fakers, then you really have a fake fakers here. And you're willing to, if you're willing to hide behind the other two coolers, then the game's over. What if you want to take the attitude? Listen, I want to follow the Shulchan Aruch, I want to follow the Gra. Chofetz Chaim, the Brewer says, once you try, if you can, Nefesh Achol Atzmon, once you try, if you can, it's possible. I want to try to be careful. What does it mean? What do the words mean? I want to try to be careful. What do I eat? So starting from, again, we said the spring wheat harvest makes it to your table, makes it to the grocery shelves, again, depending on the particular food. Sometimes the very, very end of the summer, right? By the end of August, early September, there are already products on the shelves that could potentially be chadash. So from September till April, what am I supposed to eat? So the answer is, Baruch Hashem, today in America, it is very, very easy to observe Yasha because everything is coded, everything is recorded. You can pick up any piece of food you're eating and you know exactly when it came from. Just look at the date. And different things have different dates. You just have to understand. You get a little tutorial. It takes about 5 minutes to learn it. You can go on yashin.com. They'll explain it to you. You can get the Yosef Herman little yashin booklets are there. It's really very, very simple. Depending on the foods. I'll give you an example. You have a box of cereal. I want to go to the store. I want to buy a box of Cheerios or oats. Oats could be a significant problem of chodesh. I want to go buy a box of raisin bran. So I want to know. Yashon, Kaddish, how do I know? So not all cereals, and I'm just saying very, very globally, many, many cereals is the easiest thing to look at. You take one look at the date on the cereal box. It says, best of use by, not all companies, there are a few exceptions to this, but many of them print the date of expiration 1 year from when this food was, when the cereal went into the box. And so if it says on the box of cereal, that best of used by February 20th, 2021, then you know that grain, you know that wheat, you know those raisins, you know those Cheerios went into the box. If it says February 20th, 2021, you know it went in February 20th, 2020. If it went in February 2020, you know there is no way in the world that that's gonna be chadash. Because that, you know, it can't, if it was in the box on February 20th, it wasn't in the ground anymore. So you know that this is not this year's grain. But guess what? You know it even, it's even easier than that. If I go to the store and I find a box of, let's say, Cheerios that says on it as the date of July 15th, if I know when the oat harvest happened last year, last summer, if that date is before the oat harvest, then of course it's the previous year's oats. How in the world could it be last? How could it be the new oats? The box was already packed with oats that obviously they weren't even harvested yet. That's ridiculous. So obviously, it's from the previous Gulgulim from previous years. So all I have to know is when the oat harvest was. Now, the oat harvest is not one day, but we know it's usually pretty simple to figure out. The farmers is all online. You Google wheat harvest 2020, you'll see the pictures of the trucks. You'll tell exactly when it starts. And we know approximately, the cheshbonos were made by the experts in the field. How long does it take from those oats and those grains and those wheat to make it to the flour mills until it makes it to Kellogg's? It's going to be a backlog of a week or two. So if I know, let's say for argument's sake, so the Yoshin calendars will tell you that if you buy a box of cereal that's dated before July 30th, you know that it cannot possibly be this year's cereal. So you just simply go to the store and look for cereal dated before date X, whatever that date X is. Every product works like that. Different products, stay on shelves for longer, different ones have expiration dates, but there are lists and lists. It's very, very easy. Literally just you go to the store and you want to buy a bag of flour. Take a look and say, this is the date on the flour bag. You check your phone, you check your list. It says, there's no way this could be chadash. It's impossible for this to be chadash. Every once in a while, you run into a thing. It could be chadash. I don't know. It could be. I don't know if that's chadash or not. Okay. And you don't buy it. So it's as simple as that. It literally means either walking around with an actual list or getting all the lists are on the phone. It's easy. It's simple, simple, simple lists. It's literally look up a product, understanding what the date means. It takes about 5 seconds to check any given product. It's even easier. Again, I'm not trying to sell anyone to be Machmel Yoshin. I'm really, really not. I'm just trying to explain to you now. We learned all sugi, just tachlis brachli, what goes into it, bizman is that. It's been made even a million times easier now. You know why? Because unlike 20, 30, 40 years ago, where almost nobody was Machmel, so many people are Machmel now, that the from products now cater to this. So the from the Hamisha products, they'll do the homework for you. So let's say, for example, you want to go buy a Geffen product. So they'll tell you whether it's Yashin or not. They'll do it. You don't have to go study dates. On the Hashgacha will say the word Yashin. You go into any go to Glock Express, or go to Grand Essex, or go to Cedar Market tomorrow, go into and look at any from product and leave out the Pesach products. All the Pesach products are all fine. Because there's no Chadash at all in Pesach products. But going to look at any box of cookies, and there's a 70% chance it'll say on the Yoshin. Or if you buy any of the from flowers, the Glicks, Mishpachot, any of the Hamisha flowers, so they'll say on them Yoshin already. So they already did all the homework for you. You don't have to bother anymore. Make matters a bit easier. All the Eretz Yisrael products, everything covered Eretz Yisrael is always going to be Yoshin because the Hashgach Eretz Yisrael don't accept Chadash. When you buy a Badat product in America, they're telling you it's Yoshin. So between the Eretz Yisrael products, the Hamish America products, and just having a little basic understanding of a very, very easy art of just checking product codes, the whole Chodesh and Yashin industry has been made very, very user-friendly over the last couple of years. So again, this is not a pitch for anyone to be Machman Yashin. Those who want to be follow the Minig Yisrael for Davis, completely 100,000,000% justified in doing so. Those who are Machman Yashin, so it's become so much, so much easier. It's come so much easier to the point that I always joke that I think, and I'll tell you for certain, I don't think there's a bakery in Teaneck for sure, and I could be in Old Bergen County, but Teaneck for sure, there is no place to buy challah rolls in Teaneck that the rolls are not Yashin. I don't think they exist. Butterflakes is Yashin, and Grand Essex Bakery is Yashin, and Cedar Market Bakery is Yashin, and Zadie's Bakery in Fairlawn is Yashin, and all the Hamisha rolls you pick up, 99.9% of the rolls, they're all Yashin. Because it's not worth it anymore for bakery not to be Yashin. Why should I not be Yashin and I lose 20% to my customers? I'll get the Yashin. So they do all the homework for you. They'll get all the Yashin flour. I don't want to publicly say which stores or whatever. Yeah. If you're interested in waiting and get Yashin pizza in T-Deck, I'll tell you where you get Yashin pizza. You want to know the Yashin bagels, I'll tell you Yashin bagels. It's very easy. You're not going to say anything. Unfortunately, you won't save 1 pound these days. In the old days, if you kept Yashin, you lost a lot of weight. Today, you get anything and everything you want, and 90% of the homework has been done for you already. And the few the few items, the odds and ends that you have to look at. So you learn very, very quickly what the dates mean, and you enjoy it's an easy, easy, easy thing. So again, this was not to sell Yosha, not to advocate those who should follow whatever, and hug you, whatever they want. Everyone should show my Yisrael. And anyone who decides to accept it, better make sure you talk to your wife first about it. That's for sure. Make sure you get a green light from her. That's for sure. But again, it's just to inform, since we are learning the Sugya of Yosha, I figured we'd give a little bit of the background in terms of halacha and the background in terms of the Metzias HaDvarim on the ground today in America. And it's fairly, significantly easier in the old days. I suppose it's an interesting story that I think you remember Kefir, if I'm not mistaken, has it in his book about how the Rav's mother, Rebetzin, Moshe Soloveitchik's Rebetzin, Shalom. So we have to remember Moshe Soloveitchik, you know, the briskets, David Darius, the briskets were the biggest Achmirim in Yosha. So when Moshe Soloveitchik passed away in the early 40s, Rebetzin Soloveitchik stayed on in Washington Heights. She lived in Heights, 187th Street for many, many years until she passed away. So in her later years, some of the Tamidim from the yeshiva would help. It was hard for her to walk out a little bit, it was hard for her to do some of her shopping. Some of the other Tamidim would go, the Rav would ask some Tamidim to go help his mother out, to go take her shopping sometime. I think the associated store, 186th Street, of States used to go to. Remember, Kefetz tells the story, I don't remember, I think it was about him and another Talmud, or maybe two other, whatever it was, that two Bacharim were asked by the Rav to go help his mother go shopping one day. They took her in a little shopping, a little bobby cart, a little shopping cart. She went to the Associated, and she went. It was around September time, and she went and she pulled all the old boxes of matzahs off the shelf. 30-40 boxes of matzahs, and filled up a shopping cart. Checked out. She walked home. One of the Tamidim was just flabbergasted. He said, "Rebetzin, pardon me for being nosy, but why did you just buy it? It's basically another 6 months." Why did you just buy 30 boxes of matzahs? So she looked at him like he had landed from the moon. She said, "Well, what do I have a matzahs? It's September. It's Chayashim. It's already the Chodesh season started. What am I going to need for the next 6 months?" But you couldn't get Yoshin Challah. Yoshin bread didn't exist. Yoshin didn't exist. The only thing you knew was Yoshin was matzah. Matzah was Yoshin, right? It was last year's matzahs. It was Gan's Yoshin. So anyone who was Mabel in Yosha, they bought this for 6 months. So she couldn't understand. She thought he'd come from the moon. And this Talmud is quoted as saying that he thought the Rebetzin came from the moon. He was in Yeshiva, he was 20 years old. He never heard of Yosha. He didn't know what it was. He knew there was a pasuk tucked away in Parsha Zemor somewhere about Lechem Kol Vechem Osof HaLotz B'Yemazem. He never heard of it. I guess he didn't live in Preshburg. In Preshburg, the Chassam Sofer was the Rav. So the Chassam Sofer had a Hakpada that the Aliyah of Alechem Kavach related 4 times a year. Lady Pashas Demor, it's the lady for second day Pesach, and it's the lady for first 2 days of Sukkot. So I'm sorry for had a minug that he wouldn't give that Aliyah to someone who wasn't Machpel and Yosha. he felt he was nervous to give that Aliyah. So only special people got that. I don't know how many people pressure with Machpel and Yosha. So this Talmud thought the Rebetzin came from the moon, and she thought he came from the moon. So things have changed now. Everyone's heard of Yoshin. Even those who are not, at least they know. It says on the box, Y-O-S-H-O-N. It says Yoshin on it. Everyone knows already what Yoshin is. So whatever it is, Elam, different sheet, there's in the Gedalia, Abishayim, the sheet of the Poskim, a lot of lumdus in terms of space fakers, the Shemechad, and Sapit, and all that, and just Lamaisa filling a little bit of the gaps in terms of on the ground. Okay. Wish everyone a good night. Take care. Take care, everyone.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Robert.